During his earthly ministry, Jesus often concluded his lesson by crying out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." We see this used in regard to John the Baptist, Matthew 11 and verse 15, the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, 9, and again in the explanation of the parable of the tares. But we often forget about Jesus being the one who wrote the letters to the seven churches of Asia. And in the seven churches of Asia, you'll notice that each one of them, to each church, Jesus makes a statement, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, question, what exactly is the point of these sayings? Well, it's like saying, what is being said is very important, so you'd better pay attention and listen. Put it in real simple terms. In Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, Jesus says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, 'Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." This illustrates that Jesus is concerned about how we hear. And why is this so? Well, the problem that exists today is that many people simply don't listen. They're generally busy thinking about what they're going to say next. And as soon as you shut up, they're going to start talking. Or maybe they just don't listen to understand. Oh, they'll listen all right, but they just listen as a formality and don't have any intention of ever understanding it. I am convinced that many today don't appreciate the importance of listening well. But it is something that concerned our Lord. How well do you listen? Well, to understand this subject properly, we need to understand that the Bible talks about three types of listeners. There's always the ones that are called dull of hearing. The Hebrew Christians were a lot like this. In Hebrews 5 and verse 11, he says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain," notice, "since you have become dull of hearing." When a person has this problem, it's hard for others to explain things to them. The fault is not with the subject or the material used to present the subject, or the problem is with the presenter. The problem is with the listener. The listener. Isaiah wrote of such people, and Jesus applied it to many in his day in Matthew 13, verses 13 through 15. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive, for the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" People are dull of hearing because they are dull of heart. That's the real problem. This prevents them from understanding God's truth and from turning from sin unto God. And last of all, being healed by God himself, that is, of sin. Now, who would want to be this type of a listener? Well, certainly we are not interested in it. But there's another type of listener that's very interesting. And this listener is the type who has itching ears. Paul describes these listeners in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Such people are not interested in hearing the truth. They're only interested in that which supports their own preconceived ideas. They only listen to that which pleases them. And they only read that which pleases them. So, they really don't like sound doctrine, which often requires the kind of preaching mentioned in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, where Paul told Timothy to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. They will find teachers to tickle their ears. And then they will turn away from the truth, notice, unto fables. They will swallow some of the most ridiculous ideas and concepts and willingly listen to them preached. But they won't listen to the truth. Many, I fear, today are afflicted with this hearing problem. But the third type of hearer is a good type. Those who hear with a noble and good heart. Jesus speaks of them in the parable of the sower in Luke 8 and verse 15. The ones that fell on good ground, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. This is the kind of hearer that God is looking for and the kind he's pleased with. The Bereans were this kind of listener. In Acts 17, verse 11, we read, the Bereans were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. These were fair-minded. Notice the New King James on that. Thus, they were willing to give Paul a fair hearing. It showed how they received the word or listened to the word with all readiness. Now, that's the kind of hearer that we need to be. Well, why is it so important to be this kind of a listener? Well, the importance of good listening is seen in the fact that it is essential to being blessed. For those who are willing to listen properly, there are wonderful things to be learned. In Matthew 13, verses 16 through 17, Jesus said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it." Many things which great people, people like David or Daniel, did not have the opportunity to hear. They were only told about it and heard it from afar. Things pertaining to the wonderful blessings that are now available to us in Christ Jesus. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we're told, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We miss out on these blessings if we do not hear carefully. But is also essential to saving faith. God has ordained that we be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Such faith comes through the proclamation of the gospel and often involves listening to a preacher. If you look at Romans 10 and verse 14 with me, Paul says, "How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Now keep in mind, this is in the time period when the gospel was still being revealed and written down. And the only way that they could receive this was to hear a preacher. In Romans 10 and verse 17, Paul in the same context goes on to say, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." While one can certainly gain faith through reading God's word, as John points out over in John 20, verses 30 and 31, where he says, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." The fact remains that many are often dependent on what they first hear proclaimed. One reason faith is often lacking is because people simply are not good listeners. They miss out on the evidence in God's word which produces faith. Does your listening hinder the development of your faith? That's a question to think about. But we also see that good listening is essential to bearing fruit. In the parable of the sower, the only kind of soil or heart capable of bearing fruit was the one which listened properly. Look at Luke 8 and verse 15 with me, if you will. "The ones that fell on good ground, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, kept it and bear fruit with patience." This is what fruit bearing is all about. Hearing God's word and then doing it. In Colossians 1 and verse 6, Paul told the brethren at Colossae that the gospel had come to them as it also did to the whole world, and was bringing forth fruit, as it is also amongst you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Note, the gospel was bearing fruit in amongst the Colossians. But that was since the day you heard and knew. Now, the New American Standard has the word understand. You knew and heard and understood the grace of God in truth. Only by listening well can we understand God's grace and be thus motivated to bear fruit to His glory. But it's also essential to preventing apostasy. There is very real danger of drifting by neglecting so great a salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. The only solution is to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. Poor listening often is the final step to apostasy. But it's also essential to avoiding rejection and condemnation. If we do not listen as we should, we will be rejected and we will be condemned. Those who teach God's word have a right to reject us. In Matthew chapter 10, look at it with me, please. Matthew 10, verse 14. Whoever will not receive you or hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. What does he tell the workers to do? He says, if they will not receive or hear your words, what are you supposed to do? Shake off the dust off your feet. Move on. Why? Well, because such people judge themselves unworthy of eternal life. Look with me, if you will, at Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, down at verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spread throughout all the region. If we reject the preaching of the gospel, perhaps by poor listening, the men of Nineveh and the queen of the south will rise up and condemn us at the judgment. How do I know that? Because my Lord told me so. In Matthew 12, beginning with verse 41, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment of this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh repented after hearing just one lesson from Jonah. Now that was powerful preaching. Will we reject the gospel of Christ after being given many opportunities, time and time and time again? The queen of the south went great lengths to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Are we willing to go just a short distance to hear God's word proclaimed? The rejection and condemnation is not limited to coming from just these individuals. It will come from God as well. Now, hopefully we appreciate the wonderful opportunities we have to listen to God's word and the importance of good listening. But how can we improve our ability to listen? Just as speakers have to learn to speak, so also people need to learn to listen so as to understand. So, I'm going to present to you some steps to better listening. And these are suggestions for you. First, make listening an act of worship. How do you listen to God's word being read or preached is as much an indication of your dedication to God as how you pray or sing. In Luke 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So when you have opportunity to listen, do so with a worshipful attitude. Think of how you would listen if some great person were speaking. Wouldn't you give careful attention to what they were saying? Now, think about the proclamation of God's word. Doesn't it deserve every bit as much of your good attention? Listen from first to last. That means pay attention all the way through. Do you expect to understand a novel by simply reading the dust cover, the jacket? No, you don't. So it is with listening to God's word. Sentences, phrases, words are to be understood and must be heard in light of context in order to understand. Speakers have to follow certain rules of speech. They have to introduce the subject, present the main points with supporting arguments, and conclude with some type of summary. So listeners must listen to all the parts in order to understand. Look at the speaker. This greatly aids your concentration. Looking elsewhere makes it easy for your mind to wander. That's why we have the windows covered. And why we used to have some people who liked to uncover them, because they were looking out the window instead of paying attention to the lesson. Closing your eyes makes it easier for you to nod off. How well I know that. This requires self-discipline, but it is conducive to developing a longer attention span. Try it and see if it doesn't make a difference. Also, read along in your Bible. You remember more of what you both see and hear over what you simply hear. Why do you suppose we use visual aids? You know, that's the reason. But the greatest visual aid that you can have is your Bible right there in front of you. Oh, yeah, that's right. It'll enhance your knowledge of the scriptures as well. I skipped over that point. Should have said that. And let me mention along that line, too. You need to encourage your children to do this. Adults provide a good example for children. As you're turning to the scriptures, encourage them to do the same thing. And they may not be able to find them right away, and maybe you can turn for them, but gradually they'll begin to find the books of the Bible themselves. And as they mature, they'll be able to do the same thing you're doing, following along in the lesson. Also, listen with faith. Listen with a willingness to accept the word of God. Notice in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, lest us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it, for indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard, notice now, which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those that heard. Those who died in the wilderness did not listen with faith. Now this emphasizes the importance of listening with faith. If we don't listen with faith, we too will fall short of the heavenly rest which we seek. Also, listen with a mind to act. In Ezekiel chapter 33, begin at verse 30. Ezekiel says, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you besides the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Come, hear what the word of the Lord comes from the Lord.' So they come, and people, as people do, they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, and they do not do them." You get it? These people, oh, come on, let's hear the word of the Lord. They come and they hear it, and they don't do it. "For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them." They love to hear it, but for the wrong reason. Now, think about this. Do we love to hear sermons because of how well the speaker presents them? Is that what it attracts us? Hearing must be accompanied by doing to be of any profit. In James chapter 1, 22 through 25, James says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror, and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. For he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one is blessed in what he does." As important as good listening may be, the blessedness only comes for those who are doers of the word. To be blessed in what we do is my goal in presenting these things to you. That you be blessed in what you do. How important then is listening in the proper way? Well, Isaiah says in Isaiah 52, verses 2 and 3, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully." What did he say? "Listen carefully and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." It is essential for our soul's welfare that we hear well. Just think about this for a moment. Is there ever a time when God does not listen? I know you're saying to yourself, "Why, God, he hears all everything." Well, I'm going to say the answer to this question is yes. And I want you to turn to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And here's the answer. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." What? God will not hear. But we can take care of this problem by receiving God's great mercy. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Today, that mercy is offered through Jesus Christ, God's Son. This is my beloved Son, God says. Hear him. Have you heeded him by obeying his word? Have you given yourself in submission to his will? If you haven't, why not? Why not? Are you hearing with profit? Are you doing in accordance with what you hear? Have you obeyed his word? Or does the following cry of Jesus apply to you? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?